All right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, September 20th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everyone. It is a chilly 66 degrees and partly sunny here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Ubiquitous Connectivity, Frequency Dangers, and the Internet of Things. We listened to a lecture by Jeremy Johnson, who had been a civil engineer in Silicon Valley for quite a number of years and started to get ill, didn't know what was going on, and discovered that he had a sensitivity to electromagnetic frequencies from the ubiquitous nature of the internet. We have wireless signals beaming all over our homes. We have smart meters beaming outside of our homes. We have cell towers beaming from not only the far reaches and the outsides of the cities, but also he was talking about these new little cell boxes that they could place right on top of telephone poles, and potentially they could be right outside your window and not even know it. And every second of the day, our bodies are being bombarded with these invisible frequencies that could potentially cause damage to our health. There were a couple different stories that we had mentioned that have come out in the recent past. They had told us for a very long time that cell phones don't cause cancer. Don't worry about it, even though the Europeans were finding otherwise. Story came out June 13, 2016. Do cell phones cause cancer? Probably. But it is complicated, and they did some studies to kind of show the degree of risk. Of course, it depends on the length of time and the strength of exposure, but how many people don't even think twice about putting that cell phone up to their ear? When we were listening to that lecture yesterday, Jeremy Johnson was saying you should not even have it anywhere near your body. And yes, the cell phone companies, I saw with my own two eyes, have now put in the fine print, really teeny tiny small, and if you need bifocals, you'll never be able to read it, saying that it should not, your cell device should not be within a certain distance of your body. And honestly, I don't remember what it is, but it shouldn't be on you, shouldn't be in your pocket, it shouldn't be next to your head when you're sleeping. And that's a mistake that many of us make. We're going to continue today taking a look at frequencies in the ubiquitous internet and some of the things that are going on right now with Google launching their Google, whatever they want to call it, I don't remember, Skybender. Google's Project Skybender aims to beam 5G internet from solar-powered drones. This was part of that FCC redacted document that had been put out probably 6 months ago or so. And it was pointed out, I'd actually noticed it when I was looking at it myself, but I found a good article that talked about it. Google is building a 100-kilowatt radio transmitter at a spaceport, and that's the one in New Mexico that SpaceX uses, and no one knows why. You can find the funniest things in public government documents. We read this, and one of the things is that in the publication released, Google has asked the FCC to treat some information relating to radio experiments as confidential. And that's why they redacted it all. Hold on 1 second. I'm bleeping here. Okay. Google had asked the FCC to treat some information relating to radio experiments as confidential, and these experiments involve highly directional and therefore high-powered transmissions at 2.5 gigahertz, 5.8 gigahertz, 24 gigahertz, 71 to 76 gigahertz, and 81 to 86 gigahertz. These experiments will take place at Spaceport America, the 12,000-foot runway in the middle of New Mexico, occasionally used by SpaceX, Virgin Galactic, and now Google. And if I'm not mistaken, this is that same spaceport that was a part of NASA's original conglomerate, and they were leasing it out, as well as I noticed SpaceX, they had signed some long-term lease agreement that not only allowed Elon Musk to utilize NASA facilities, which, if I'm not mistaken, are paid for with taxpayer dollars, but also utilize some of the knowledge and the individuals that they had on staff. So we're going to be sharing now government, public funded information with private corporations, which is another whole show in and of itself. Anyway, let's continue. For the most part, this document only tells the FCC that Google won't be causing harmful interference in the radio experiments. And right, that's that FCC stamp. That lecture we had listened to yesterday from Jeremy Johnson had talked about how, why the FCC, even though they're this big regulatory body, and we've seen this time and time and time again with all those alphabet agencies supposedly keeping us safe, that they're really not. Why isn't the FCC coming out and warning people not to put cell phones up against their body? Why have they looked the other way when there have been studies that have come out for quite a number of years now, before the most recent one that's now saying, uh-oh, maybe they do cause cancer? Why wasn't the FCC cautioning people and making it a rule to kind of really get it into the public mindset that these things could potentially have detrimental effects on our biology? So this is the same FCC now that has rubber-stamped this redacted FCC application by Google for these new Skybender drones. Of the few details listed in the document, one thing does pop out as exceptionally odd, and that is the 70 to 80 gigahertz transmitter with the effective radiated power of 96,411 watts. That is close enough to 100 kilowatts to call it such, and this is the maximum effective radiated power of the highest power FM stations in the United States. But radio stations are omnidirectional, whereas Google is using very high gain antennas with a beam width of less than a half degree. The actual power output of this transmitter is a mere half watt. The best guess for what Google is doing out in the New Mexico desert is Project Skybender, a project to use millimeter waves to bring faster internet to everyone. And that's what we're going to kick it off today. Says there aren't many details, but a lot of speculation is raging from applications in low Earth orbit to something with Google Loon. And those were those Loon balloons. And yes, they are talking about providing ubiquitous internet across the entire continental United States and eventually the world. This is not just a localized United States project. We just happen to be the lucky ones to be up front after they redirected this project from Africa. So today we have a special treat. We have some company to talk about millimeter waves and technologies and the craziness that is going on right now. Mr. James Freeland, aka JJ Inc., a voice of UCY, is on with me this morning. Good morning, JJ. How you doing?
Hey, Jules. I'm sure I'm glad you didn't say call me like some sort of expert or something.
No, well, what's interesting is that as I started digging into millimeter wave, I'm like, wow, that sounds so familiar. Where have we heard that before? And if you remember, good old Chertoff, after 9/11, we ended up with millimeter wave naked body scanners in airports. That was kind of like the first public introduction to millimeter wave. And I had to laugh because I ran across a story that had talked.
Scanners.
What was that?
The porn scanners.
The porn scanners, absolutely. And I ran across a story in How Stuff Works to, like, explain things. And what I had to laugh about is that they mentioned, they say on Christmas Day 2009, Umar Farouk Amalubajabajubajab, whatever it is, tried to detonate explosives in his underwear. Remember the underwear bomber?
Yeah.
On a flight from Amsterdam to Detroit. And because of Abadubalubalaba's failed attempt, we now have screening technologies because of the TSA.
Yeah, and I mean, Kurt Haskins showed, I mean, almost indisputably that that cat should have never even been on the plane. He was escorted on the plane. Customs and security was never going to allow that guy on the plane. It's just another part of the movie, you know.
Right, a part of the big reality that they're playing.
That are literally like little cancer fucking guns, you know?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I found when I was doing my research about millimeter. Millimeter, they say, does not break the bonds of matter like some of the other frequencies.
Oh, that's comforting. Yeah,
I know. That's
comforting that they can't actually disintegrate you from the inside.
Right, right. But it does excite matter. So you have to worry about heating and things of that nature, I would think.
That's what we were... Otto just mentioned 5G, and you and I were just sort of briefly discussed it earlier.
Well, right. And that's part of that Project Skybender. And I found something else. Maybe one of the reasons that Google is asking for the multiple bandwidths for 5G and millimeter wave has something to do with this frequency boosting that I was finding here, but we'll get to that later. One of the things I wanted to just complete here, going back to cell phones, so let's go to like 3 and 4G radiation. This story just came out on the 13th, so this was a week ago, out of Ars Technica. Mobile industry urges judges to overturn Berkeley's radiation warning. Now, I didn't realize that Berkeley was the one that came out with the radiation warning, which is very interesting because that's where that Jeremy Johnson was doing the TEDx conference out of that we listened to yesterday was Berkeley. In San Francisco, two titans of the legal world faced off last Tuesday before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in a case that pits the cell phone industry against the city of Berkeley, California. And I'm wondering if maybe Jeremy doesn't have something to do with this. If the court ends up reversing a lower court's earlier decision and ruling in favor of the cell phone industry, the CTIA, the Wireless Association, it would overturn a new Berkeley city law that aims to alert cell phone users about possible radiation risk by forcing retailers to post signs in their stores. So the cell phone industry is fighting Berkeley, who has passed a law requiring cell phone providers to post warnings to users that there may be a risk. It's like putting warnings on cigarette packs and having the tobacco industry petition to get the warnings taken off.
Right, right.
What kind of bullshit is that?
Well, here's the deal. Here's like this major battle that I think is kind of going on, and we've seen it. The fact that you and I, you particularly in the programming and code, and me in the actual building, in the personal PC sort of movement that began, you know what I mean? I was completely addicted to, making computers, making them smaller, making them faster. You were
when I was attacking those days.
The codes. Now, here's the deal.
We used to buy all the newest stuff. I mean, it was an addiction.
And it's more than that, Jules. It's our ideology. It's the way, it's our personal beliefs. And now a lot of these business leaders, like you might as well say Google, DARPA, FBI, CIA. But here's the deal.
Microsoft. Don't forget.
Yeah.
White House.
You get like Facebook, Google, Reddit, some of these huge, huge social media venues and platforms, and they're always going to have to. They have their ideological, dreams that they started out with. But once they get big enough to where the governments are interested, that's it. They have a choice to make. A lot of them, in fact, almost all of them have to choose.
Has been co-opted. They send in their anchor. And that was like Regina Duggan was for Google. And I think Kurzweil might have gotten there right before. But Kurzweil's just the lunatic that they put kind of in the front facing, to come up with the crazy ideas. But Regina Duggan was the DARPA anchor to get those slimy tentacles.
If Zuckerberg, if Steve Jobs, if the Apple people, Bill Gates were to start saying, things like, no, we're not, dude, They more than just share metadata. These are open doors to intelligence. And now with 5G, literally 5G.
Well, now
is
it's all open.
It's the very first, the most basic connection as a hive, and it'll just get stronger from there. 6G, 7G. Pretty soon, you'll just be it'll be hardwired at birth. You'll be connected.
Organically. Well, yeah, the implantables and the DNA, the little DNA electronics. But, the thing is that we did a couple shows on those CubeSats, those new 10 by 10 by 10 centimeter satellites that they're going to launch en masse in the upper atmosphere that are going to be to connect and track the Internet of Things. And I believe that is all a full connection to
that's why they want people in freaking the Sahara Desert to have cell phones. You know what I'm
saying?
Right,
exactly. That's what
why
it's
they
all about.
Want people to have cell phones and internet in the deep, dark freaking
in
rainforest.
Africa. Like, come on.
On the tops of mountains and tunnels underwater.
And in Pakistani caves.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting. I was actually watching a movie movies talk about things that are actually happening. And the new X-Men movie, right? There's this ancient bad guy, and his ultimate power was when he got to this guy Xavier, who can tap into the minds of everybody. Just a little bit, and it was like, well, before I could control the earth, but now I can control, now I can control everybody's mind, and that's kind of where that's at. Where the, all
well,
this,
this
AI,
is
all this 5G, 6G,
absolutely. Yeah. And we were looking a couple days back at those at the magnetite that they're finding in human brains, those spherical magnetite ferrous oxide particles that they're finding inside brains. Of course, they're blaming it on pollution, but there's a lot of other ways that those could be released into the atmosphere. I've seen solar radiation management presentations talking about magnetite being able to easily reflect sunlight back out to outer space. So, we already heard, what's his name? Oh, the head of the DOD, Carter. Talking, I had a story queued up the other day, and I never played the little video clip of him talking about already. Oh, here, the nanoparticles and geoengineering. They're already talking about that they've been doing geoengineering. So even though it's never been an official program, it's something that they've already been messing around with. And who the hell knows what they're putting out there? And they're saying that they could be inhaled.
And they call you an idiot, chemtrail. Ha ha ha. And if you try to go, no, okay, so don't use that word anymore. Go talk about geoengineering. They go, huh?
Oh, this is the director of the CIA, sorry. And he was addressing the CFR,
Council
on Foreign Relations, talking about them geoengineering the sky and how,
it's been going on.
Yeah,
For years, when people talked about how they seeded clouds to make it rain, they were considered idiots until now. Then it became common knowledge, and now it's just widely accepted that.
It even makes you wonder if they are using some sort of magnetic ferrous oxide to reflect sun back. Isn't that going to also help improve radio reception in the sky?
If you listen, I hate to pat my own back, but man,
it's going to make the whole sky an antenna.
Several years ago, I started doing a few shows talking about how we are all becoming one giant antenna.
We are.
Organic antenna. And once they're tuned into us, which we're, pretty soon they won't need us to have a device.
Nope.
Because they'll be so advanced that just with what the premise of your show is with sound waves and with micro sound waves and with, either low and super low and or super high frequency microwave and other sort of radio waves and sound waves, they'll be able to, we're already been profiled
Dosing.
As people, as individuals.
Yes, we have been. So let's take a look now. So Google has a direct connect to the federal government, to DARPA, to the military, to the White House, even one of Hillary Clinton's computer staff had come from Google. I know we dug deep before.
Because if they don't agree to do it, then they die in a plane crash, and then the next guy up to the podium makes the deal.
Well, the day it all happens.
Gotta watch this, Jason, the new Jason Bourne movie.
Yeah, I know.
It's
I
on
have to
demand.
Make some time.
It's exactly about what we're talking about right now, about how even if you get a tidal wave of conscience at the very end and decide you're going to go public with the fact that you've been working with governments to steal information from people's private lives, something will happen that will never come out, and the next guy at the podium will stand there with the director of the CIA, and they'll hug and suck, you know, shake hands and talk about what a great relationship they have and how your personal information is first and foremost on their list of don'ts and do nots.
Well, JJ, I could tell you the critical points in history where that all happened. When back in the mid-90s, when this whole connecting to the internet and e-commerce all first started, and I was doing tech work, and back in those days, technical people were the undergrounds. They were the rebels. There was no guidebook on how to connect stuff. There was no online PDFs for anything. You had to go to trade shows and talk to vendors and go into a lab and build shit and figure out how it all worked.
Yeah.
Technology companies were anti-government. They were against government intrusion. They were the hackers. They were the black hat, figure out, ride the wave, and no one knew how it all really went together. And the federal government
was
waiting.
That's what I was getting at, where these people have choices to make, and they're hard choices.
Well, they sold out, and I'll tell you the day it happened. I saw it. Bill Gates with his antitrust lawsuit, and the day that they finally settled and he came out of court and they didn't break up Microsoft, and you saw it in his eyes, he gave the feds the keys. I know that.
You see a guy like Aaron Schwartz who was bullied and gang stalked into committing suicide, and you go,
and why was Bill Gates
as a superhuman?
For Aaron Schwartz, those were just for university studies that he was leaked.
Yeah, but remember,
so it makes you wonder.
He started Reddit.
I know. Yeah, he did start Reddit. But it makes you wonder what he leaked or what he gave access to. Because remember, a lot of these universities are funded by a lot of the mad science and military. But then I'll tell you what else happened.
They sold out, and you know it, and you're about to.
They all sold out. And here's the last puzzle piece that happened for when the American public got sold out, and I did a story on it on Antimedia back a few years ago, was when the tech titans, it was all under the guise of coming to the White House and being guaranteed that, we were all going to work together in the name of cybersecurity, because remember, we had hackers under every bed. But that was when the federal government got the buy-in. Zuckerberg was there, and Google was there, and Microsoft was there. And coming from the industry of 25 years, okay, back in the 90s, I used to have pictures cut out of the newspaper every time I saw Bill Gates meeting with a world leader, and especially with a country like Egypt or something like that, where our president wasn't in there. You know what I mean? Our president wasn't going into in North Korea. I don't know if Bill ever went to North Korea. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was going to countries like an emissary, shaking hands and getting Microsoft in the back door, even though we did not necessarily have close political ties with those countries. And the fact that the tech companies were kind of the underdog, and the tech companies were kind of their own entity from the federal government back then, they didn't go sit down at a table, at least in public, for a photo op with the president of the United States. And back like 3-4 years ago, when they all went to Washington and had this big tech conference, that was when they asked Microsoft then to help them fix the Obamacare website. Did you know that? After they spent all that money and that company screwed it up so bad.
Yeah, I mean,
Microsoft.
I could have whipped out my old networking books and my old C++ program books and done what they did for $1 million.
Right. I would have done it for half then.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we got this. Well, and remember too, now that Regina Duggan from Google, we discovered, has now moved over to Facebook. She's working on their moonshot project over there to get internet out to Africa, and that was where that...
Yeah, because they really need it in the jungle. They
of course they do. They need Facebook, too.
Yeah. Of course, they have to stay connected with other people that really need water and food.
Well, it's for identifying that one Ebola bat tree, remember? All right, so here's a story now about Google's Project Skybender.
Google, it just sounds...
Well, it does, and it's meant to sound that, because it's going to do way more than sky bending. It's going to be mind bending, body bending, nature bending, surveillance central.
And it's just the very first and the most beginning. Basic.
Yeah.
It's going to evolve. Look, 4G just came out, what, 3 or 4 years ago? Until about 3 or 4 years ago, when even now a lot of people still have 3G.
All you have to think about is the fact that this is just the beginning, and AI is coming, and autonomy is coming.
If you look at it like this, Jules, with 3G, you get, it's like nap of the earth. If you're in a valley, it sucks. If you're in a place where you don't get good radio towers. And then with 4G, it was like, no matter where you were, no matter almost anywhere in the middle of the forest, as long as you're not underwater or in a tunnel, 5G, they'll be able to get you underwater, in a tunnel.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
And then
it'll only get more insidious from there.
Right. And those places that, the very few places that you have now where you don't have cell signal will be no longer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So Google's Skybender project aims to beam 5G internet from solar-powered drones. And this was from January.
Solar-powered drones.
Yep, that could be up there for a very long time. Google is working in secret at a spaceport in New Mexico to build and test solar-powered internet drones in a new initiative codenamed Project Skybender, according to a report from The Guardian today, and this is January 29, 2016. The company is reportedly renting 15,000 square feet of hangar space from Virgin Galactic. So they're saying that that's Virgin Space. I don't know. I know NASA and SpaceX, they all use that space. Commercial space flight outfit from Richard Branson. And I just saw, too, Virgin Galactic, after their last big explosion, they're getting ready to start testing some of their commercial space planes again. And the privately owned spaceport located near a town in New Mexico called Truth or Consequences. How amusing is that? Truth or Consequences.
I find it sort of amusing.
Yeah, I think they do that shit on purpose. Yeah. The linchpin of Project Skybender appears to be cutting-edge millimeter wave technology. Yes, the same nudie technology that we had in airports back after 2001, which can transmit gigabits of data every second. It speeds up to 40 times faster than modern 4G. Millimeter waves are thought to be the future of high-speed data transmission technology and may form the backbone of 5G mobile networks. Now, remember, too, when we started digging into the release of commercial drones, which, by the way, some of the very first commercial drones have been launched here over the last month or so. So pay attention to that. We need to dig into that and do a few stories on who's launching them. But those commercial drones need to have some sort of air traffic control. And we read a few stories about the air traffic control grid being a potential collaboration between NASA, Verizon, and a lot of the big tech companies. And they are all jumping on board. And I think there were like 30.
Yeah, and it'll be AI done with supercomputers with just human overseers.
Well, not only that.
To see, a human is just there to see if a red light comes on.
Well, not even then. I mean, they have this whole autonomous software that they were working on at that Cyber Challenge in Nevada this year on DARPA supercomputers. So eventually they'll be able to program in just an algorithm to say, if this person looks like this, then, blow them up.
Well, in 20 years, you'll be able to just, because they'll be so far, they're already dabbling in organic computer and just being able to use organic DNA for computing and things like that. Pretty soon, you just actually will be a computer. You'll be able, because with when we get to 7G, where it's just broadcast, the air you breathe has the internet in it, literally. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
At a molecular level.
Yeah, yeah. And then your body has enough processing power and enough storage for all information anywhere from the beginning of time until now, literally. And that's only in like a spoonful of organic tissue DNA.
Yeah, it's very frightening. And, you know, then when you get all these companies that think that they're going to tie in to this new network that'll be monitoring not only drone traffic, but I also, when I was reading one of the IEEE presentations on the future of millimeter wave and all the things that they can connect to and how they can control, you know, you're going to have all these tech companies that are connected to this grid that are going to have access to your information, to your biometrics, to anything that they want to surveil on the ground. And that's where the frightening part comes in. There will be no privacy. And as it gets smaller and smaller, you're absolutely correct. I mean, we already have seen them talking about the new implantable biosensors that'll connect to the Internet of Things. I mean, we at a cellular level and the whole planet at a cellular level is going to become connected. And that is the end result of all of this. It says Google is currently testing a technique with a new solar-powered drone called the Centaur. And other units. Yeah. Made
everything
by...
has to be so either masculine or dark, you know.
It is. And yeah. or something that relates back to some sort of weird history. The solar-powered drone called the Centaur and other units made by a division known as Google Titan. I think I need to look at Google Titan at some point, which the company formed after it acquired drone maker Titan Aerospace in 2014. The company has a deal with the FCC to continue testing until July, and it is also paying Virgin Galactic about $1,000 a day to utilize its hangar, as well as an additional $300,000 to Spaceport America to construct installations with servers, millimeter wave transceivers, and other technology on site. Google has noted in the past how it plans to compete with other tech giants like Facebook to bring internet to developing countries, yes, like Africa. And The Guardian says Skybender is technically a part of Google Access, which is a division that houses Project Loon, which is Google's air balloon Wi-Fi project aimed at a similar goal of bringing internet to remote parts of the world online. Google did not, of course, respond to request for comment. And, yeah, so we're talking millimeter wave technology as well as 5G. And I didn't know that there was a connection between these two until I found this. Will millimeter waves maximize 5G wireless? And this is out of Scientific American. So these are the millimeter waves, same technology, millimeter in the optical or in the frequency spectrum. You have optical, then you have the tetrahertz millimeter wave, and then you have microwave. So these are all new ways to utilize waves to view things. Wireless.
Yeah, they're so far past like analog and digital. Now they're testing everything in between.
Everything, including light.
Yeah.
Wireless companies want next generation gadgets to download at rates of gigabits per second. The question is, how do we make that happen? Well, every decade or
Jules, how do you? You couple that with the projections that by, now remind you, 2525 is only 9 years away now. Every other baby boy in America will be born autistic.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
I mean, I don't know if that's going to be true, but.
I think there's going to be even more issues than that, to be honest. I think autism will probably be the least of our worries. I hate to say it, but. Today's fourth generation or 4G wireless digital networks made it possible for smartphones and tablets to deliver voice and data communications with bandwidths measuring millions of bits per second. Specific data speeds vary by carrier, but most networks enable users to download a file containing a full-length movie more than a gigabit in size in 10 minutes. The next generation 5G wireless, huh?
That's right now. You can.
That's right now.
Yeah.
The next generation 5G wireless will have to deliver a huge leap in performance to handle surging mobile network traffic, of course, with the Internet of Everything, much of which will be large multimedia files. And according to Cisco Systems' most recent visual networking index, most mobile traffic will grow tenfold globally between 2014 and 19, exceeding 24.3 exabytes per month worldwide in 2019, and an exabyte is 1 billion gigabytes. Yeah, that's absolutely insane. So one of the most promising potential 5G technologies under consideration now is the use of high-frequency signals in the millimeter wave frequency band that could allocate more bandwidth to deliver faster, higher quality video multimedia content. Ding. So this is where I think that FCC application is coming from, where Google is asking for 5G frequencies as well as millimeter wave. Is this millimeter wave to boost 5G download?
That's crazy. I mean, I remember 36 or 52K. You know, I remember taking all night long to download 16 kilobytes.
So here I find now a presentation out of the University of Texas by the Department of Electrical Engineering, Professor Robert W. Heath Jr., talking about millimeter wave spectrum for 5G. And one thing I found interesting was this diagram, implications of millimeter wave spectrum. Shared license access will allow them to reduce costs and give carriers access to more spectrum. And that'll cover your cellular communications. It'll also give them satellite communications, cognitive radio for shared spectrum with satellite and radar. And these are surface movements on the ground and in the sky. And they're showing airlines, drones, and air traffic control. The antennas, of course, are much smaller, and they have different propagation models. So this is going to allow them to do almost the Internet
of
everything.
The ability to override, like, for instance, if they wanted to just override control of every drone in an area, including personal drones for the camera footage, like in a city, like, say, in New York, like yesterday, if they had this technology. And the DEA or the NSA or the CIA or the FBI were to like, yo, we got to follow this guy. Already they can already can take control of most of the private security cameras that are all lining the city, even, you know what I'm saying, through apps and shit like that. But that now pretty soon what you're talking about with drones, with everything,
and
just be able to
the self-driving cars
of everything and look and hear and record.
Wireless high-speed surveillance, self-driving cars, they can beam virtual reality. This is one of the things in a Microsoft presentation that I was looking at this morning from 2015 from the University of Madison, Wisconsin, Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering. They'll also be able to beam applications, connectivity between your cell phones and kiosks like Redbox, or even some of these new like food vending machines, is all going to be controlled from the sky.
Yeah.
This is part of millimeter wave for 5G from Microsoft in a presentation from the University of Wisconsin.
People aren't going to realize that it's too late until it's too late.
This will connect the Internet of Everything is exactly what this is all about. But not only that, let's get back here just a little bit. This is out of an IEEE Spectrum article. Although tetrahertz technology has been not much in the news lately, if the phenomenon isn't really new. It just went by different names in the past, millimeter, submillimeter, and extreme far infrared. And since at least the 1950s, researchers have sought to tap its appealing characteristics. Now, if you search millimeter wave, they've been using that for ground radar and stuff in the military for a very long time as well.
Right.
Use of this spectral band by early molecular spectroscopists, for example, laid the foundation for applications to ground-based radio telescopes as well, like the one in Chile. And over the years, a few other niches have emerged, most notably space-based remote sensing. Ding! And then in the 1970s, space scientists began using far-infrared and submillimeter wave spectrometers for investigating chemical compositions of the interstellar medium and planetary atmospheres. And I mentioned that yesterday. I believe this is the same.
They didn't use that on the dust from 9/11.
Right, exactly. Sorry. Well, I believe that this is the same technology that they were using for places like Mars, where they put those two orbiting satellites that have been able to map the entire ground of Mars. So they already know every element that is on Mars, and the fact that it's going to be profitable for them at some point in the future to mine it. They have done it to the moon. They are doing it to asteroids right now. And now they're talking about flipping these around and pointing them at the ground. So a story out of Reuters from June 28, 2015, U.S. military sees more use of laser and microwave weapons. Now, check this out. You know, everything is a double-edged sword. And so they're talking about how this is going to be great. We can control all of our internet of everything and all these apps and commerce and drones and automating the world, utilizing millimeter wave and 5G to bring ubiquitous internet to every corner of the planet. But listen, U.S. military has made strides in developing lasers, microwaves, and other directed energy weapons that could soon be used more widely, top armed forces officials and U.S. lawmakers told an industry conference back in June of 2015. The officials described weapons that are in various stages of development and testing by the U.S. Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, and Army, but said that more work was needed to scale up the technology for larger weapons, develop tactics for their use, and ensure sufficient funding. Directed energy brings the dawn of an entirely new era in defense, says Lieutenant General William Etter, commander of the Continental U.S. American National Aerospace Defense Command Region, at a conference hosted by Booz Allen Hamilton and the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessment. Directed,
because there's a $500 billion a year that these guys get to tap into for them, anything really, anything that they can put that has to do with defense, national security, any fucking thing.
It's insane. And listen,
it'd be
to
a
this.
Fucking goddamn thing that clip onto their freaking lapel pins. You know what I'm saying? At 35 cents a piece, and they do everything to get a piece of that. Of any piece and all the pieces. Sorry.
Well, check this out, because all of our worst fears, I mean, this literally is out of Reuters, and all of our worst fears are in this next sentence. Directed energy refers to weapons that emit focused energy in the forms of lasers, microwaves, electromagnetic radiation, radio waves, sound, or particle beams. We read a long time ago about some of the tetrahertz radiation having the capabilities of unzipping DNA, literally. So what kind of a weapon is it going to be? Particle beam? Where they can beam shit out of space, because you know that's what this is headed for, down to the ground based on high-definition video where they've been able to identify you all through artificial intelligence in a database to be able to take you out. I mean, what we're seeing over in the Middle East right now with drone strikes and autonomous drones flying around is just the very tip of the iceberg.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just the beginning.
It's practice. This has been practice for kids who didn't know what they were doing yet.
Wait till they start having autonomous humanoid.
Well, and they might.
Something or another.
Those are, you know, with those exoskeletons.
If they're not already out there.
And you have Atlas, and then Atlas Generation 2.
Imagine, Jules, when they can hit on an individual because we're so plugged into with, you know, maybe even it won't be 5G, it'll be 6G, and it'll be the next generation of supercomputing, but where they can just literally hit the control-alt-delete button on you.
Well, once
you know what I mean.
Once we have
just control alt delete. Wait, we got to start over with this one.
Once we have a lot of the synthetic biology that they're manufacturing into some of these new drugs. I don't know if you heard those shows a couple days back.
Yes.
The X and Y.
They might be waiting for it to be passed on for like two or three generations to where it's part of the actual DNA of the human.
Well, it will become part of the DNA of the human. I am absolutely certain of it. And then when we look at that shape-shifting immune system that DARPA was working on that actually goes in and makes modifications to human DNA, and anytime it finds a new threat or virus, it
Let
will
ask you,
make changes.
Is this really human desire? Or does this have to be, you know, like extra, you know, extra dimensional, man, to be able to think this far in the future and be this insidious? Because what happens next just gets scarier and scarier and scarier.
It's like beyond every worst. I used to have horrible nightmares.
We're just
horrible
really
nightmares. I've never even thought of the horror of what I'm discovering as I dig into things now. I mean, it's beyond even my dystopic vision of the future that I ever had. And I used to love reading science fiction and dystopic literature. And this is like beyond. Now, check this out. This is something that I found, a cut sheet out of Argonne National Laboratory from 2012, I believe. It said at the bottom, it's in Lamont, Illinois, and it is stamped U.S. Department of Energy. So this is a funded project by them, available for licensing. Millimeter wave systems track biometrics, detect chemicals, gases, and radiation. Argonne scientists have created two millimeter wave systems that enhance homeland security. Ding! One system remotely measures heartbeat, respiration rate, and body motion. And other systems detect airborne chemicals, gas leaks, and radioactive substances. And together, these two systems offer great advances in the ability to identify potential bad actors, right? How many times have we mentioned those actors? Before they act, and to detect hazard situations before they pose serious risk to the public.
Yeah, and they're going to pick out a gene and say, this is the violence gene, so in the next couple of decades or even the next generation, they're going to start aborting fetuses just based on DNA. You know what I mean? The gene.
Well, and that's where I think that all of this is going to end up, as they understand more and more about the genome and certain traits that are characteristic in your genome. They absolutely will be able to run your DNA profile through a database, run an algorithm, and be able to identify whether or not you are a defective human. I absolutely truly believe that. And maybe even further in the future, they could run the parents' DNA through and determine whether or not you are good breeding stock. You may need permission. And, you know, as they are finding ways to lessen reproductivity, not only from a biological perspective. I mean, we've found Dr. Huber talking about some of the direct results of eating glyphosate-laden crops on livestock with the spontaneous abortions and lower birth rate. And
yeah, it seems like every week a new glyphosate story. Yeah, that is pure. And now Bayer and Monsanto are one.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day, too. And Bayer being tied back to the makers of Cyclon B is part of IG Farben with the Nazis. I just couldn't believe that when I looked at it. I'm like, wait a minute, wasn't Bayer involved in Nazi Germany?
Yeah, and Monsanto created Agent Orange.
Yeah, and
a lot of
other insanity. I don't know. I was reading there was an entire list that came out the other day of all the horror of creations between those two companies to make them one. It's really horrifying.
Right. And then Google will buy them all.
Yeah. Let me just read a little bit more about
Argonne
Technologies from the Department of Energy. And remember, a lot of this all goes back to the Department of Energy, and a lot of it ties back to the Manhattan Project, where we had Operation Paperclip involved, Plum Islands, and a lot of the nuclear experiments going on. It's very insane, and it all connects together. It's one huge, insidious plan.
But Jules, conspiracies that big couldn't exist because too many people would know. But projects like you were just mentioned did exist. Whole cities were built in the desert and kept secret from the entire population the whole time.
Well, even more than cities. I mean, there are these black ops research that's been happening everywhere. And if listening to any of our anti-nuclear shows on this network have taught me anything, listen to Libby Hileve or Lonnie Clark and just find out how many locations there are across just the United States. And I mean, they're all over the world, but just the United States. We've had all kinds of nuclear research going on, and they've been dumping this shit into the groundwater or putting it in underground tanks that are leaking all over, like in Hanford or in burning underground, like in St. Louis, or look in Tonawanda outside of Buffalo.
Look at that sinkhole. Where is it?
Florida.
Yeah,
loaded with radioactivity right into the aquifer.
They're counted in trillions of gallons of toxic waste being
right into that aquifer. Guys, this is happening everywhere, even in California, where they let all those fracking companies start fracking, and we got major droughts, and now they're finding that the fracking companies contaminated all the clean groundwater in droughts.
And now they're talking, and now even ABC and CBS are doing stories about salmon, sharks, fish on the Pacific coast having boils and growths.
Well, they're blaming it all on the poisonous algae, the toxic algae blooms, and you know the warm blobs in the ocean.
A few of them are relating it to Fukushima, but not many.
Yeah, and you know there's a whole big thing there. Give me all your science. Tell me that those warm blobs in the ocean happen to be three of them just appeared, and we don't know why. Oh, it's El Nino. But wait, isn't Japan missing three warm blobs? I don't know. That just seems like a little too much of a coincidence to me. And somebody's going to have to really prove it to me that Fukushima has nothing to do with this. I watched the weather systems from day one. There's an entire globe atmospheric map that is out there. And you can watch the whole weather system of the planet all happening at the same time. And when Fukushima happened, you could see the storm spinning up. In March, it was cold, upper Pacific Ocean, and you had all this heat just blasting into the atmosphere, and it was creating the cyclonic upper atmosphere spinning that was then moving up around Alaska, down around the West Coast, and then swooping into the jet stream of the United States. And if you remember, that was the year that we had record numbers of tornadoes and just storm after storm after storm.
I remember us talking about, watch very soon because we were talking about the salmon run that starts off the coast of Japan and then goes to off the coast of America on the West Coast, and we were talking about how that was going to happen, and sure enough, it wasn't even that later that year after that first salmon run they noticed elevated levels of radiation, and now they have bumps and boils. Well,
tuna, absolutely. Tuna has been contaminated. They verified that, and tuna traveled back and forth between Japan and the West Coast.
Yeah, it was the tuna. You were right.
Here's one of the other things I wanted to point out, interestingly, about salmon is right before the new genetically modified salmon was up in front of the FDA for approval, guess what? Oh, salmon ended up getting some mysterious disease that now they don't know what's causing it.
Yeah.
And they approved genetically modified salmon. Imagine that. Imagine that. Anyway, all right, so we've gotten so far off the topic, so let's talk one more second about radiation, I guess, and then maybe, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there. That's a whole nother week's worth of stuff. But I had listened to two interviews and started digging into the original Manhattan Project and some of the upper atmosphere research they had been doing. And they had discovered that after they exploded nuclear weapons during the 50s and the 60s, that they were exciting particles in the atmosphere that would then make the atmosphere almost like a radio antenna. It would allow them to get extended. Well, and that's what makes you wonder is, yes, HAARP has been up there messing around with who knows what and upper atmosphere frequencies for a very long time. And it makes you wonder, you know, it's not too far off from Hanford and other areas up in the Pacific Northwest. They have a lot of that waste from the Manhattan Project. They were blowing up those bombs down in the Nevada desert and the New Mexico desert and doing research down in there, Los Alamos and up through Colorado. It's a very frightening thought, but I think that there is a connection between the Manhattan Project. We also found out that a lot of the scientists that came over from Germany were working on a lot of that technology with them. And like I said, as well as Plum Island, which, you know, don't think that this DNA research and bio and chemical warfare didn't have anything to do with that, because it absolutely did. Well, if you could even believe it,
I know,
we are almost at the end of the show. That went so fast. So, JJ, what are your plans? You plan on coming back on the radio someday?
It could happen.
Could happen.
It could happen. Just not right now.
Yeah.
I don't even have a mixer right this minute.
Yeah.
But I'm right now, I'm game for doing. You know, here's the deal: is there, when I need to be able to have the time to do it right, because.
No.
You know,
I'm struggling with that right now.
Yeah, I know you are.
It's hard, man. 5 days a week is very hard. And I remember you used to do 3 hours 5 days a week, which probably put you off radio forever.
No, no, it hasn't.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on today, JJ. It was an awesome conversation. I haven't talked to you in a long time, so that was good. We did it on air. Make sure everybody sticks around. Mr. Kevin Blanch is live up next, and it is Tuesday night, so there is tons of live radio. We have Ron tonight with the FKA Game On, but now Rock the Boat Radio, New Barbarian Lounge at 8, Primer Time Live with Michael and Nick, the boys from down south at 9, and Anti-Media Radio with S.M. Gibson should be live at 10 p.m. It'll be a good night. So, all right, well, JJ, I don't know where my bumper is. It's running a little late, it seems, or maybe my clock is just fast. But I guess we'll talk about millimeter wave more tomorrow and some of the insanity and them launching different frequency. Can you even believe, like, Reuters is talking about directed energy weapons? I mean, that was just in 2001. That was the talk of lunatics. Remember? Are you there?
All right. Yes, I was. I was talking. Oh. I got it.
All right. There we go, guys. All right. Everyone, make sure you stick around. Thanks for being on with me, JJ. Have an awesome Tuesday, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow. Yeah.